The epistle for this 19th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from that of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which has been created according to God in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, put away lying and speak truth each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Do not give place to the devil. He who is wont to steal, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands at what is good, that he may have something to share with him who suffers need. Please stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who made a marriage feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call in those invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm and another to his business, and the rest laid hold of his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. But when the king heard of it, he was angry, and he sent his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage feast indeed is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the crossroads and invite to the marriage feast whomever you shall find.' And his servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, and the marriage feast was filled with guests. Now when the king went in to see the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how didst thou come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him forth into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We should ask ourselves one simple question. What do we want from life? What is it that we look for in all that we do in this life? While we may rush with many answers in our own head, the answer is quite simple. St. Thomas Aquinas and Aristotle before him points out that in all that we do, we are motivated by a desire for happiness, pure and simple, full stop. Even when we do evil, when we sin, we do so because there is something about the sin that we think will make us happy. We search constantly in this world for some small piece of happiness and peace, for joy and contentment. But as we search only through this world in our life experience, it seems that we are met only with frustration and discontent. It would seem that this desire that we have for happiness and peace is impossible to please in this world. This is because we are not made for this world. As we know from our basic catechism, we are made in the image and likeness of God to know, love, and serve Him in this life, and to be happy with Him forever in the next. This world cannot possibly give us the happiness we seek, because it is a mere creature of God, made simply to help us seek our happiness in Him. And as a creature, it is temporal, shifting, unstable. And thus, if we seek that which is eternal, unmoving, and stable from it, we will only be met with defeat and dissatisfaction. Many holy writers have used the analogy of being very thirsty and trying to satiate that thirst by drinking out of a cup that has many holes in it. We could never satisfy our thirst in such a way. This is what it's like to seek our happiness only here on earth. If we seek our contentment in the pleasures and goods of this world, even legitimate ones, we will not find satisfaction. Thus, a man who amasses great wealth for its own sake becomes consumed by a desire to keep it. He is never at peace, always concerned that he may lose some of it. Or also a man who seeks out only the pleasures of the flesh for their own sake becomes consumed by his own self-love and gives into vices such as jealousy, and despises his neighbors, seeing in them only some objects for his desires, or in others a threat to his own self-satisfaction. And ultimately, a man who seeks only material happiness despises God above all, because God stands in constant contradiction to his actions as the source of his real happiness and is continually convicting his conscience of his wrong pursuits. Our happiness comes from God. Everything comes from God. This is why our Lord tells us in the Gospel, seek first the kingdom of God, and that if we do this, God will take care of everything else. The only way we can find satisfaction and contentment in this world is if we live our lives seeking the kingdom of heaven. If we realize that we are made for more than this world, that we are made for eternity with God in heaven. We must see this world as merely a tool to help us attain happiness with God, our real goal. It's difficult for us to understand. We live in a society that demands success. The motto I was raised with in school is basically, if you're not advancing in business or whatever, then you're going backwards. If you're not making money, you're losing money. If you're not making the deal is being made without you. We live in a society that is not content with enough. We constantly want more. We need more. We are taught to admire the rich and successful as some kind of role model of virtue and despise the poor as lazy and worthless. Now, to be rich and successful is not the problem here. What's wrong is the mentality that I have to be rich, that I need to be successful, or else I cannot be happy, and I am not doing the right things. What we should be taught, and what Christ tries to teach us, is that if we are not advancing in good works, we're going backwards. If we are not meriting eternal life and saving our souls, then we are losing them. If we are not growing in our relationship with God, then we're wasting our time. When I was in Peru a while ago, just after my diaconate ordination, on a mission trip, one of our priests met a woman who was living in a bamboo hut with dirt floors, wearing ratty clothing. And he asked her, "How do you feel about the poverty in which you live? How do you feel about this?" And her response was incredible. She looked shocked. She looked astonished. She said, "Me? I'm not poor." She said, as if she actually never realized her state. She said, "I have the sacraments. I pray, and I try to do what God wants of me. And He gives me what I need." It's the pagans in the jungle and the pagans in the city. Those who live without God, they're the poor ones. The pagans devote themselves to their idols and have nothing. The pagans in the cities devote themselves to wealth and pleasure, and they too have nothing. They've traded an eternal kingdom for a false happiness. I'm not poor. So this is it. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God will take care of the rest. How do we do this? Again, it's simple. We must have sanctifying grace and jealously preserve it by keeping the commandments of God and the church. If God forbid we lose it, we must seek it out again without hesitation. We do this by confession. We must confess our mortal sins. We have nothing here to lose, everything to gain. Second, we must constantly grow in holiness and devotion to God. We must pray. We must do the works, both spiritual and corporeal, of mercy. We must always try to do more. If we are not advancing in good works, we are going backwards. If we're not meriting eternal life and saving our souls, we're losing them. Now the objection comes, how can I do so much, Father? I have to work. I have to take care of my family. This is the mentality of the world. We must not separate our devotional lives from our secular lives. We can't be good Catholics on Sundays and good businessmen the rest of the week. We must be good Catholics always, in our work, in our sports, in our families. All of these are opportunities for us to do good. And when we think the opposite, we serve the world and not God. We must always seek God. We must always follow Him and His law, even if that means surrendering a job, surrendering some opportunity of wealth, or even losing the respect of friends or family. And we must trust that if we have the faith and charity to do so, God will always provide for us. This is the problem we have. We do not have the faith that if we put God before all else, and let our love and faith in Him inform all that we do, that He will really provide for us. And we are not satisfied to accept that it might not be enough for what the world has taught us to expect, but it will be enough to save your soul. In the Common of Confessors, we read regularly, "Behold, good and faithful servant." Are we even living lives worthy to have God at our judgment even call us servants? Slaves? Or are our lives so far from God that when we die, God will say, "I know you not"? And if we are servants, are we good and faithful? Trusting that God is never outdone in charity, that God only wants our salvation, our supreme good. Can we pray the oration from today's Mass? O Almighty, merciful, and forgiving God, remove everything that might hinder us, and thus freed in body and soul, may we with full liberty seek Thy will. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.